is Laurie Mercier for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm speaking today with Julia Ford with Jewish Voice for Peace Portland about the group's activism in support of the Palestinian struggle. Julia Ford is an American Jew who grew up here in Portland, though her parents and their parents before are very firmly East Coast. She's a member of Jewish Voice for Peace, and elsewhere in her life works at the intersection of technology, nonprofits, and melding the two towards systems change. Welcome to KBOO, Julia.
Thanks, Lori. Really happy to be here.
Well, Jewish Voice for Peace has been around since the 1990s, but since October 7th, it has grown enormously, both nationally and locally in Portland. Tell us about JVP goals and why it's important to have Jewish voices in the forefront of criticisms of U.S.-Israel policies towards Palestine.
Yeah, it's a good and broad question. So, I mean, JVP's goals in this existing moment are first and foremost to call for a permanent ceasefire and an end to the continued military aid to Israel from the U.S. government. Broadly, and as you mentioned, JVP's been around for three decades at this point, but there is a collective movement of Jews across the country, across the world, who are all working additionally to say ceasefires first and foremost, it's absolutely necessary. We need to end the occupation of Gaza, of the West Bank. We need to change the apartheid system of government that exists in the region, and we need to fight for liberation for Palestinians on the whole. And I think the sort of like how, why, and the wave of people that we're seeing right now activate is very much in response to the current like downright assault on Gaza. But I do want to say that there's been hundreds of thousands of Jews for decades who have been fighting even prior to October 7th, recognizing that what is happening in Gaza, in the West Bank, in Palestine, Israel as a whole, is just very, very counter to a core tenet of Judaism, which is that it's kind of imperative for us as Jews to speak up when others are oppressed. And it is wild in this moment, or in the last 75 years, 100 years, depending on how far back you want to go, that we've sort of conflated a religion and ethnicity with a nation state.
Well, Jewish Voice for Peace Portland recently participated in a powerful demonstration on December 14th, the last night of Hanukkah, on the Burnside Bridge. Tell us about that action.
It was incredibly powerful, I think. So there were eight major cities across the U.S., thousands of Jews and allies who mobilized to acknowledge the fact that Hanukkah is a time for commemoration. It's a time for pause. It's actually a time in celebration of resilience, of revolution, and that in this moment where we come together as Jews to think through and acknowledge what is ostensibly a story, right? But this idea of the Maccabees reclaiming a temple from the Greeks and having this like miracle of light, that the light is really hard to find right now, and that we need to look within each other and stand up together to say that liberation of one people cannot and will not occur at the oppression and subjugation of others, and that the fight for freedom for everybody is the fight for freedom for Jews. And so there was a lot of singing and storytelling. There were a number of Palestinians and Jews and allies who spoke. And again, just this idea of how could we possibly have any type of business as usual in Portland, across the U.S., when there is just this all-out massacre of Palestinians happening. And unfortunately, it's happening in the name of Jews, you know, however that is being propagandized in this moment.
And this was a powerful action because there were seven other cities that also had demonstrations on bridges or shut down bridges in major cities across the country. So this was coordinated nationally, right?
It was coordinated nationally. And you know, more broadly, there's been over 90 protests nationally in less than 2 months. And I can say quite emphatically that those won't be stopping until there's a permanent ceasefire.
Well, I imagine they won't be stopping since just this week, despite the horrific humanitarian catastrophe and genocide Facing over 2 million residents of Gaza, Israel has pledged to expand its war, claiming in the last few days that it's going to continue its bombing and military operations for months until supposedly all Hamas leaders are killed. And the Biden administration continues to do nothing to stop Israel's campaign besides tepid pleas to avoid targeting civilians. I mean, what does this mean for the anti-war, pro-Palestine, and Jewish Voice for Peace movements in the coming days?
I think it's really important to acknowledge, because everything that you said is true and it can feel incredibly bleak and demotivating. However, we know that 70% of people in the United States support a ceasefire. And if anything, what is happening right now and sort of just this blatant disregard for what voters want, what humans are asking for, it's a call to action for all of us. We've got to continue to show up. We've got to continue to be loud. We've got to continue to call and write and email. I think we need to continue to elevate and tell the stories of people who are on the ground in Gaza, of the Israelis who are fighting for a ceasefire as well, whose voices are being oppressed and subjugated in this moment. And in terms of like, what does this mean more broadly? I think Netanyahu and the Israeli government, you know, for years and years, they've had become progressively more right wing. And what we're seeing is not something that just came to be after the horrific events on October 7th. This is a sort of lifelong mandate of Netanyahu's government to annihilate Palestine. And they feel like they have carte blanche right now. And therefore, it is all the more of a moral imperative for those of us in the US to stand up and say, hey, listen, this is not going to happen in our name if you're Jewish. It's not going to happen with my tax dollars or our tax dollars. If you're not Jewish, if you are Jewish, if you're anything. We have a continued onus and obligation to stand up and use our voices in kind of like whatever we can to at least make it very clear that genocide and apartheid and the forced displacement of people are doing absolutely nothing to make anybody safer, and that war is not the answer.
And despite this kind of mobilization, massive mobilization that's occurred just in the last few months, and just the unmovable Biden administration, what about Congress? The fact that despite Oregon's progressive reputation, its entire congressional delegation, aside from Jeff Merkley, have not called for a ceasefire. So what can be done to push Wyden, especially, and Bonamici, Hoyle, Blumenauer, Salinas, the whole crew, to demand a ceasefire?
Yeah, I think as of right now, there's like very, very powerful narrative at play, and it is deep. This idea that anti-Zionism, which is saying Zionism, just to be very clear, it's a political and national ideology. It's this idea that Jews and a Jewish nation state are somehow necessary in order to ensure Jewish safety. So when we talk about Zionism, when we talk about anti-Zionism, we're talking about a political and national ideology. So not a religion, not an ethnicity, not a race. And the existence and sort of promotion of Zionism, it's settler colonialism. It's a positioning of a group of people over another. And it's a very intentional diversion from the reality of what Zionism, again, as a political and national ideology, has enabled, which is a continued expulsion of Palestinians from their land, their homes. That notion that if you speak up against Israel, if you are calling for a ceasefire, which I would say, especially here in Portland, historically, we have no problem flooding the streets when there is a war that is being enacted and spearheaded by the U.S. We are out. For some reason in this moment, not this moment, but the last 90 days, we've seen a hesitation and we've seen people shy away from what is very simple, saying, no, we don't support mass war and mass murder of civilians. And instead, we're hearing people say, I don't get involved in international politics, or I'm just, you know, a local representative, or Israel has the right to defend itself. And to me, the reason that there's this hesitation, this stutter step, this inability for our elected officials to be representing the will of the people. Again, 70% of people in the US support a ceasefire. So to your point about like, why are they not stepping up and in? It's because there's this very powerful narrative that to be an anti-Zionist means that you're anti-Semitic, which is absolutely ludicrous. But that is powerful. And Jews for decades have been told, Israel is your homeland. You have a right. You could get on a plane, never having been there, having no family there, and get citizenship. Your Palestinian friends, though, whose grandparents were expelled in the Nakba, like they can never go. They could never return there. But you have a birthright. And there's this weird tie that is being exploited to perpetuate this war, this genocide of Palestinian that's happening, where you've got folks saying, you cannot speak out against Israel because then you're anti-Semitic. And so I think that is why we're not seeing more of our elected representatives call for a ceasefire. I think that is why the representatives who have used their voice, some of them incredibly bravely, who came out right away to say, hey, a violent escalation is not what we need. We need to have peace. We need to have international intervention. We need to figure out a solution that allows for everybody, Jews, Palestinians, to live with safety. Those folks have been targeted. They've been targeted by the media, again, for something that is, if you take a step back, mind-boggling, which is we're calling for peace. We are calling to say everybody deserves equal rights, and we're being told that that is controversial. And so we are not seeing our representatives uphold the will of the people right now, and I think they are scared, and I also think that they're operating with, quite frankly, misinformation and propaganda that has perpetuated the entire American political system. And we've got to do a really good job coming together to combat that narrative. That was a very long answer to your question.
Well, that was great, Julia. And I think also we have to consider just the financial implications, since Congress runs on money, unfortunately. And AIPAC, the PAC that supports Israel, is very powerful in this country and has threatened those who have called for a ceasefire. I think it's also interesting to note that most of the congressional representatives who have supported Cori Bush's resolution to demand a ceasefire have mostly been people of color. And, you know, that's something that should be pointed out to Oregon's congressional delegation, I think, that they should stand with people of color who also, you know, recognize this apartheid state that the United States is supporting.
It's such an important point. And I think that the very unfortunate fact is that in our continued quest to sort of maintain the narrative that Jewish safety is tied to Israel, and that fighting for equal rights and self-determination and freedom for Palestinians, and saying that that is anti-Semitic, that actually many, many true anti-Semites are being platformed, like the Mike Johnsons, the John Hagees of the world. And they're being given that platform by AIPAC, by the pro-Israel lobby. And so we need to interrogate why, especially as Portlanders. If we were in the streets for Black Lives Matter, if we believe that liberation is shared and we all need to work together, why there is a hesitation to show up for Palestinians? And to your point, why is it that most of the people who are calling for a ceasefire are women and people of color? You know, I have a cousin who I love, who is a religious Jew. She's a member of Chabad, and she was very active during Black Lives Matter. And it's been incredibly painful to be in conversation with her, but really important over the last few months. And she said to me, she said, you know, I don't want Marjorie Taylor Greene speaking for me. Like, I don't understand why AOC and Cori Bush, like, why they're not speaking out for Jews. And that opened this incredible and painful door of conversation around, again, this idea of conflating a nation state with an ethnicity or a religion, and really like the white supremacist ideology that goes into creating a nation state and something like Israel. So yes, it's a broader conversation, and it's really important, and it's really important in this moment. And I want to invite all listeners to find the representatives in Oregon who have called for a ceasefire and show them some love. it really is a ceasefire is the bare minimum, but those who have called for it are getting a lot of backlash, and we want to motivate them to continue, because again, a ceasefire is just step one. We need to be fighting to get there, and then we cannot stop fighting. We have to fight for an end to the occupation, an end to the siege. So yeah, find the ones who have signed on. I can give you a URL if that's appropriate, and flood their inboxes and just ask them to keep showing up to represent the will of the people.
Thank you so much, Julia Ford, for joining us today on the Old Mole Variety Hour. We will link to the JVP website, and I should point out that Portland Jewish Voice for Peace is also on Instagram and Facebook. And on the Instagram and website, there is some great footage from the Hanukkah Bridge shutdown that people should check out. So thanks again, Julia.
Thanks for having me, Lori.